Home auctions, are they worth it? Stay tuned, because we're going to talk about that.
You are about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
Well, you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you.
That's it! You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. And my name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California, a member of the National Association of Realtors. But please don't hold that against me. Back again. It's getting to be like a regular thing. Today we're going to spend some time talking about auctions. We'll talk about it from a general perspective, sort of broadly. I think it may have hit its peak of popularity. When things were going really bad, folks were looking for other ways to get their homes sold. A lot of interesting stories got told. I don't think anybody was ever really dishing on the actual results for folks. But we're going to talk about the downsides for buyers and for sellers, because there are downsides on both ends of the equation. And I tracked this for a while. So back in the day when it was just tough to get a home sold, sellers were out there looking for anything and everything that they could to try and get a leg up, try to get a home sold. And for a while, the auction scene was hot. It was happening pretty regularly. I remember going to one in Gilroy a few years back. I went to two or three just to sort of see what the situation was, see how things went, go through the process to register to be a buyer, just so I could see what you had to do, and also to get my grubby little hands on the disclosure forms that go along with it. And there's no super secret stuff going on here. Pretty much all the information I found out by going, you probably could find out by just visiting the websites of these auction companies that do this stuff. But it's absolute – if there are people out there who bristle at the idea of paying a real estate agent to do what they do – auctions should piss you off even more. So we'll get into the details of why that is. I suppose I should turn my little phone into vibrate before I start my show, which I usually do. I don't know why I forgot this time. But we're going to get into all that. We're going to cover the subject, I think, pretty well in the time that we have. Still hoping – what's really weird is the stuff that I get responses to and don't get responses to. So I'm really hot for your stories. I'm not just saying that because I like to hear myself say it, but I'm just not getting it. I get feedback on a variety of different things. I get messages pretty frequently. I frequently get people who want to call and complain about something I said, and I frequently get folks who want to say, hey, thanks for the show, that kind of stuff. But I'm really interested in your stories. Now, I've gone off and found two or three sort of proactively that we're going to be recording here soon. The one I was hoping to record for you on Friday or Saturday didn't materialize. The person I was working with, we just didn't connect. But we're going to get that taken care of. I've got two or three in the queue now. So I feel pretty confident that we'll be able to start presenting some interviews here on the show for folks that are achieving their goals. We'll find out what they've done that worked, what they've done that didn't work. And hopefully from those specifics, we can draw some general conclusions that we can come to that can help us achieve our goals, whether that's in real estate or whatever else you're doing. It's about getting information, right? Information is power. So what we're about on this show is cranking that up to 11 so that we're getting as much out of this as possible in terms of leveraging off of other people's experiences, both good and bad. So just to sort of give you an update on that, it's all still happening. And I'm going to be pushing for some that I've gone out and sort of tracked down. But again, I'd love to hear from you, not just – and if you don't want to share your personal stories, I get that. But what I would love to get from you – because I've got sort of an infrastructure now put together. I've been taking doing some research into how to do webinars and in online instructional things. And I would love to do very specific, focused seminars on things that annoy you, scare you, concern you the most. So I would love to get that information. So for those of you that are listening, take a couple of minutes out. You can go on over to www.therebelbroker.com or you can go to www.soldbyrobert.com. Using the contact form there, just real quickly, a couple of sentences, tell me things that confuse you or scare you, things that are just that really put you off about the business of real estate or anything else, things that just worry you. I mean, granted, someone who just responds with, well, I have a lot of self-doubt and I'm not sure I'm making the right decisions. If you can get a little bit more specific, we might be able to help with that, right, to overcome fears relating to specific things. But I'll tell you, as someone who also second-guesses himself pretty frequently, that's a learned thing. You have to sort of jump over that hurdle. You have to just recognize – there's always going to be a certain amount of self-doubt, but you just have to – that's one of those things you have to push through, I think, from my personal experience. But anyway, so let's go ahead and jump into the auction discussion. One reason why this sort of rose to mind was an article that came out a few days ago or some information I got a few days ago from auction.com. Now, they just announced the largest transaction in their history, and they've been around for, I believe, 8 years. They're the largest online real estate transaction – excuse me. It's the largest online real estate transaction just happened, and it was $96.05 million for the Manhattan Towers. And that's a two-building, 309,000-square-foot office property in Manhattan Beach, California. And that's a coastal community that's down in Los Angeles. And that sold on July 22nd. Now, and I saw a little blurb about that at the time that it happened without a lot of discussion of it. But it's a huge deal. And it really raises the bar on the comfort level of a lot of different types of folks to embrace the auction mentality, right? Now, can you get a better deal at an auction? You might. As a buyer, you kind of can, as long as you know what the limitations are going in and you budget accordingly. But the advantage that you get from the auction is primarily the fact that you are simply walking in and paying, which is an advantage that you get in everything, right? So if you're just going to walk in and there's no financing, you don't have to put a condition that some bank has to approve what you're going to do, that's an advantage that isn't limited to auctions. In fact, in just the standard mainstream real estate sales world, that's a huge benefit to you. If you're coming in paying all cash, I can frequently negotiate a lower price. And my argument has always been that whatever something will go for at auction, I can typically do as well or better. Now, if I'm a buyer, what are the odds of you getting a better deal in an auction? Well, again, just like in the regular real estate world, it relies A, on you being informed when you walk in, and B, being willing to be patient for the right deal. Let me give you an example. So most of us are probably familiar with auctions that occur on eBay, right? If you have – and most of those aren't real auctions, right? There's minimums that they'll take and all this other kind of stuff. But if you find an unrestricted auction on eBay where whoever the highest bidder is gets it, right? There's no minimum that it has to reach. There's no other weird stuff. There's not a buy it now button, or maybe there even is a buy it now button. I'm not sure that part plays a part in it. But if you're going to buy something, you simply have to have in your head some good knowledge of what you're trying to do. And eBay gives you the best way to do it. And this isn't a commercial for eBay. I haven't suddenly gotten a sponsorship from eBay. But the reason why I bring it up is because I bought a motorcycle on eBay. And I got a fantastic deal. So I think I mentioned a while back that I had decided to fully embrace my midlife crisis, and as one element of that, decided to buy a motorcycle. Well, I didn't want to just buy any motorcycle. If you're going to buy a motorcycle, you have to go with the ridiculous one, the motorcycle that represents the more money than sense thing. I mean, if you're going for a style thing, right? So I ended up buying a Harley Davidson, and I did not just jump in and emotionally buy one. I looked at what was going on, and because of the way eBay is structured, you've got typically days to do all of your analysis. You find something that comes up, typically that's 3 to 7 days that you have to figure out what you will pay max for this particular thing, right? Now, in my case, this was unseen. All I had was photos, but I had done a lot of research on the folks that were doing the auction and knew their reputation. Same place you should start with a home auction. Whether you are a buyer or a seller or an investor, you should know the background of this auction organization. What is their reputation? Do a little online searching and find out what their reputation is. If you've never heard of these guys and they are brand spanking new, you probably want to exercise a little bit of caution. If they don't have a track record of serving folks and doing auctions, and I realize that's kind of a catch-22, how do you get the experience to do it? But you just need to know that going in. You want to make sure everything is absolutely squared away and done correctly, because when everything is said and done, you need to make sure you own that property. So in my example, I did my research. I knew generally the couple of different models I was willing to buy. Just like you would decide what the minimum requirements for the house are, it has to have X amount of square footage or X amount of bedrooms. And if you're an investor, right, you typically know it's got to be at least a 3 and 2 because those are the greatest return and bang for the buck and potential resale. So you're doing all this math in your head as either an investor or a buyer who's looking for their home to live in, or an investor who's looking for that right investment property. And you're just establishing what your minimum criteria is. And I did the same for the motorcycle purchase. So I see what comes up. I have a little search. It emails me every day when stuff comes up. And lo and behold, I find one that fits what I'm thinking of. And I have a price in my head that I don't want to pay more than. And I'm finding that in the vast majority of cases, these things are going for more than that. Well, remember, I'm a brand new motorcycle guy. I got my motorcycle license, and about a month later, I'm looking for a motorcycle. So I was not going to buy something that was wonderful and shiny and chromey and all these wonderful things based on the idea that at some point I was going to damage the bike. I was either going to knock it over or do something stupid. Nothing at speed. I'm not that kind of a motorcycle guy. But, you know, motorcycles were big, heavy things. And so I just wanted to make sure it was something I wasn't going to cry if I put a big old dent in it or scraped off some chrome. After about 2 months of a stream of these things coming through, I finally found one that was in a groove. It had under the mileage I wanted it to be under. It was young. I wanted anything from 2005 to now. I wanted something under 15,000 miles. And sure enough, one comes up that is 14,000 miles, built, made in 2005. And it's got exactly what I want in terms of stuff. I'm not going to buy it and have to then go buy a lot of aftermarket things to make it what I want it to do. Same kind of criteria, right? I'm taking a motorcycle experience and translating into what you should do when you're considering auctions of any kind. Now, here's where we get into some differences. When I buy that motorcycle on eBay, that's it. When that price tag comes up at the end, I'm done. If there's anything that anybody has to pay to eBay, that's going to happen with the seller, not with me. It's not what happens with auctions for home purchases. And we're going to talk about that in a second, which kind of, I think, just vastly muddies the waters for you, both buyers and sellers. But the point is that I waited and I ended up buying a motorcycle for about $2,300, $2,500 under what I could sell it for immediately if I wanted to go ahead and sell it through normal channels, through ads, through Craigslist or whatever. And the reason is because I simply went and bought it. I didn't finance it. I didn't need to go get a loan. Although, you know, it's, in that example, I actually probably could have. But I actually had someone offer me $1,000 over what I paid for it about a week after I started driving it around. So it's a question of, can you get a deal? I think the answer is yes. But the deal doesn't depend on the mechanism. The deal doesn't depend on it's an auction or it's eBay or it's out in the real world. It depends on your mindset The deal happens because of what goes on between your ears, not because of the thing that you're looking at. If you're emotional, if you decide you love something, well, then you lose. You don't lose. If you get it, I suppose that's a win. But if you want to get it for the lowest possible price, that's not when that's typically going to happen. Right. So setting the stage, I think that, and the reason why I went through this prolonged story is because what's going to make an auction work for you is not the auction. It is going to be your mindset going into it. Because if there is anything that will screw you over in an auction, it's not having the right mindset. This is absolutely a mental game. You don't want to go through an auction thinking, I have to buy something here today. And it may not even, it may be an auction for just one property. That's typically a pretty common thing that happens. It's very, in fact, the two I went, I think all the three of the ones I went to were all just for one property. So just keep that in mind. You know, so many times I see people sort of lose it because of this sense of urgency. There are lots and lots of houses around. There's going to be more houses tomorrow than there are today. Somebody is going to want to sell a house. Now, granted, you may be in a situation where you're supposed to be out of where you are in a month, and there's all these other external things that can poke you with a stick to create a newfound sense of urgency. What I'm going to suggest is you put those kinds of concerns to rest independent of I need to buy a house. And again, I realize that doesn't apply to everybody. If you're a married fella with a wife and two children, that doesn't work. Sleeping in the back of your van doesn't work in that scenario. You have to find other options. But what I'm going to suggest here is that you do whatever you can to disconnect the emotional got to do it side from the do it side. And whether that means you're going to end up renting a hotel room for a month, I don't know, and that you may not even be financially able to do that. But I'm going to be suggesting that you look for other options. You do not want to go into an auction scenario with a sense of desperation or a sense of I must. It has to be well thought out. You have to have good info. Now, what's great is you can actually even get away with stumbling into an auction without having done anything prior. And with just your phone in your hands and its internet connection, you can probably get enough really good information to make a halfway decent call on whether or not you should buy this house. That's what's great, because in the olden days, that wasn't possible. You had to do all your homework ahead of time, and typically with enough. So let's should we cover anything more about this Manhattan Towers thing? It was just sort of a mind blower when I read it. Is there anything else really super sexy here? The sale represents the largest verified e-commerce transaction ever based on current Guinness World Records information, while the purchase of a giga yacht in 2006 has been reported by several online outlets as the largest transaction ever on eBay. Other sources have reported that the online auction ended at $85 million buy it now price, which falls short of the Manhattan Towers online auction. We believe the $96.075 million auction of Manhattan Towers may represent the largest single e-commerce transaction ever, besting the $40 million purchase of a Gulfstream V private jet by Mark Cuban in 1999, which Guinness World Records currently lists as number one, said auction executive VP Rick Sharga. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else sexy here. For those of you who in LA who want to see the towers, they were built in 1985, and they're located at 1230 and 1240 Rosecrans Avenue in Manhattan Beach. I've actually been down Rosecrans Avenue. I actually lived in Southern California for a year, and I recognize that street name. Maybe it's super long. I go through the whole place, and I should remember it. But anyway, so there you go. So as far as high-end acceptance of auctions, it's pretty hard to make the claim that we're not there. It's absolutely a viable thing. Now, that was an online auction. That carries with it some of the same downsides of a general auction. Now, auctions that you're going to go to for real estate, there can be some online. It happens. But a lot of the ones that you're most likely going to get exposed to, particularly if you're looking in your own local area, are going to be the variety where you're physically showing up. There's an auction. There's a date. Everyone goes. So it's a compressed experience. It's not people bidding online over a period of time. Although there is an online component to just about every auction I've ever seen at this point, there was even one that had a video feed from the event And this is true of most auctions in general, regardless of whether it's real estate or anything else, aside from things like eBay. But if they're doing a live – a real auction of something where people are physically located there, typically you have this online component where you can bid. After all, you're trying to get the highest possible bid. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about we're going to kind of jump into the disadvantages of buying a house on auction. And one of the first ones is the right of redemption. Now, it's available to property owners in some states, and it can cause some huge problems for real estate investors. Now, if you want to set the stage, you'd go through the researching the property, going to the sale, you put in the highest bid, you arrange financing maybe and possibly repair the property, and then you find out that the former owner can get the property back. Most states have a right of redemption law on the books, so unfortunately, although not common, you can find yourself in this situation. The good news is that you get a refund for your bid amount. The bad news is you lose any money you've invested in the home since the sale. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there is no right of redemption in California. You'd want to verify that. You get free and clear title to the property in California. But in other states, clearly this is something that can happen. So you're going to want to look into that in your state to determine whether or not it's something you need to worry about. I am guessing that in most areas there's a limit to that right of redemption. So I would try to work around that. I wouldn't say don't buy the property. You know, I'd try to buy it some other way that avoids a right of redemption. My guess is that's not going to happen. Just because of probably what state the property is in, it's in a right of redemption anyway. So what I would suggest is that you just delay any major work until after the redemption period is over. And that's probably going to change from state to state. And judge for yourself. I mean, if you know for a fact that the previous owner is not going to make any claims on the property in that time, if you've contacted them, you know, and if it's worth it to you, you know, what would I do? I guess if I was in that situation, I might want to approach the original owner and have them sign over their rights to redemption to me, if that's possible. I don't even know if that can legally be done. Rights of redemption may be something you can't surrender. But if you were to pay them $500 for their right to redemption and say you will not exercise your right to redemption and here's $500. My guess is they could probably still exercise their right to redemption and then just have to give you back the $500. But again, it may vary from state to state. So if you can figure out some way to sort of run around that issue, it's definitely something I'd research in your own state to figure out what kind of an effect it could have and then try to figure out ways to mitigate its effect. Now, next is financing your auction buys. I've never actually met anyone who successfully financed a purchase at an auction. I was at an auction once where the person who one was going to try to finance it and it didn't work out. Something went wrong. Anyway, it didn't work out. They still ended up paying cash for it, but they had to liquidate a bunch of stuff. So, and it turned into a big thing and they had to pay a penalty. Unfortunately, they weren't my clients. I didn't work with them. They just happened to be there. So I heard this secondhand from one of the folks in the auction house. Auction purchases are cash only. Everyone I've ever been to, that's it. Payment and deposit policies can change from organization to organization that runs the auction, but you'll need to bring a cashier's check for a portion of the price when at the time of the sale. If you don't, you can't even be approved as a qualified buyer. So when you get there, you have to show your bona fides, I guess, to get your little bidder card or your little sign thing. You have to have a check for 5 to 10% of the purchase price, but sometimes it's a flat fee. Sometimes it's not a percentage of what your purchase price ends up being. And sometimes in that fee can be anything from, I've seen fees from $5,000 to $15,000. So that can range as well. Now, here's the only part that you get some wiggle room in, and that is typically once you've won the bid, the rest of what you owe is due after some period of time. Again, it can depend on who's running the auction, but it can be anywhere from about 30 to 60 days. 2 months is usually the top. All the ones I went to, I believe it was 30 days. So I haven't actually been to one that was 60 days, but in my online research, there have been places where 60 days was what the requirement was. Another problem is the condition of the title of the property. Now, we've talked about title insurance before in a standard real estate purchase. Well, that's what title insurance is for. It verifies the condition of the title and maintain and establishes that it's clean and clear for you to assume it when you're buying. When you win, you may find that you've not only gotten yourself the property, but you also have inherited all the debts and obligations that go with it. This is the – and now I'm reading from a site, the Idiot's Guide site on auctions. This is the biggest risk when dealing with auctions forced by second mortgage lenders or other junior lien holders. Remember, the primary lien holder has first dibs on the property. So if a junior lien holder forces a sale, the primary lien remains in effect even after the property is sold. So what you've purchased – and this is something a lot of people don't get. When you've got a secondary lien holder, what they're selling is their interest in the property. So if you want to think back to what we were talking about with Vegas auctions, right, where homeowners associations were foreclosing because of unpaid HOA dues, and then there was a court case in which the person who bought by paying off the HOA dues, it actually erased the other liens. So by potentially paying – by potentially bidding – so you were, and what you're doing is buying the debt. So let's say someone owed $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is, on in back HOA dues and penalties. You bought that for say $5,000, $4,000 for the debt of $5,000 for a total debt of $10,000 or whatever it was. Because of that Las Vegas decision, you now owned the property. Now, because of the way the law is written, you also had possession of it. So between the time you bought it and the time any primary lien holders might have come around, you own the property. You've got the keys. You are legally entitled to do with it what you will. So folks were renting it. And we actually had a guy on who – and I'm trying to remember, was it Rick in Vegas who moved from LA to Vegas to take advantage of this? I haven't talked to him in months. He's a guy I'd love to reconnect with. If you're out there listening – I apologize if I got your name wrong. I'm going to look you up. I've got you written down. That just occurred to me. I should talk to you. Anyway, but that's how that was happening. And that's how that – this is – so when you have to understand what you're bidding on. You're bidding on purchasing the lien that this person has on the property. And if it's a primary lien, well, then you own the property, right? Now, the next thing is damage. You're likely to be able to tour and inspect the property before sale. And I think all the ones I went to, there were windows available to go and look at the property. You could bring your own guy. So if you had an inspector you wanted to bring, you could do that. So here it's been less of a problem. I think there was even one auction where a home inspection had already been done. And it was – because I think previously they'd tried to sell the place. So they just handed out that home inspection as information for all bidders with a disclaimer that, you know – we don't know what's changed since this was done. This was done 8 months ago, so you're on your own kind of a thing. And this is another one that can play a part. I've never experienced it in the auctions that I've been involved with. I have heard horror stories of courtroom step auctions, which are a completely different thing. That they don't. A lot of the downsides, there's still downsides to those, but a lot of the financial downsides we're going to talk about here in a minute just don't exist with those. Is having to get people out of the house. Now, typically people will say evicting the homeowner, but that is really only a part of the problem when it comes to getting folks out of the house. Now, if this is an auction that took place on the property, which was a frequent thing when I was looking at this. Likely that's not going to be a problem. If you're in the property when you're bidding on it, it's not likely that there's a homeowner hiding somewhere in there who's not going to leave when the bid's over. But in a lot of these, you're not inside the property. You're maybe somewhere else doing the bidding for this. And it would be a bummer to discover that there's someone living in the property, but not necessarily the homeowner. It could be a squatter. There could be someone in there that you have to get rid of regardless of their status that makes it a problem. But this is also a problem that you share when you're buying a foreclosed property. You may discover once you've purchased a foreclosed property that someone has at some point squatted into that property and now you've got someone you've got to get rid of. And we talked about this a little bit about how it's the mindset that's really going to win this for you. It's what's going on between your ears that makes this work, not just the fact that it's an auction. But one thing that this calls out is buying fever. There's a real risk of getting caught up in a bidding frenzy only to find yourself spending way more than you'd planned or buying a home you know nothing about. If you're at all prone to impulse buying or getting caught up in auction excitement, it's a good idea to bring along a friend or advisor, ideally the real estate expert on your advisory team who can serve as your voice of reason. So, and I'm going to my suggestion is that when you walk into these things, have a number in your head where you're saying, I will not pay more than this. Have a number. And do not pay more than that. And do the math ahead of time, because as we're going to set and discuss here in a second, it's not limited to just what you bid. There are expenses above and beyond your actual bid that potentially will be a problem. And they may be rolled into what you pay, or it may be rolled into the seller side. We're going to talk about that next. Now, first of all, and this is what I was just alluding to, is the cost. Now, auction companies generally charge what's called a buyer's premium of about 10%. And this number can vary. 10% is pretty normal, but it's 10% of the final purchase price to cover the services of the auction house. Now, buyers typically keep this 10% charge in mind when they bid. So instead of bidding $100,000 on a property, they might bid $90,000, right? Realizing that they have to pay an additional fee that's above and beyond the property. Now, what's interesting about this is let's equate this, right? An auctioneer is going to facilitate the sale of your property for 10% of what it sells for. A real estate agent that you list with is going to charge you 6% at most, usually. If you're some kinds of properties, that amount is sometimes more. I think the most I've ever charged for a commission is 8%. And then remember, that number is negotiable. If you're going to list your home, and we're going to talk in a minute, this is the part of it that I think kills it for me if you're a seller. Whether you're a bank or anybody else, it makes no sense to sell a house this way. Whether you're going to pay the 10% to the auction house or the 6% to the realtor, and that would have to assume also that there's equivalency as you move forward. Who is likely to bring the highest price? Is it the realtor or the auctioneer? And we're going to talk about that in a minute, because I'm going to make the case here, and I think it's going to be pretty compelling as we hit a couple more of these tidbits. Now, the next is that auctions is a subset of buyers. Not all buyers go into the world of auctions. The folks who have access to these auctions are at a different price point. They've got money saved up. And because they're going to be having to pay in the way they're going to have to pay, they are absolutely looking for a deal. I'm not going to go to an auction thinking I'm going to pay anywhere near market for a property. It wouldn't make any sense. Why bother if that's what I think? So right at the get-go, not only are you getting a much smaller subset of buyers, but you're absolutely getting a subset of buyers who 100% expect to pay less than they'd pay if this was a regular marketed property. And while everyone has access to these auction sites, financially not everyone does. Financially, these folks have to qualify ahead of time, prove their funds, and come in with a deposit amount that's gigantic. And then within 30 to 60 days, depending on who's doing it, have to come up with more money, right? The complete balance. They have to pay for the entire nut in one go. Compare that to a real estate agent who's A, going to charge you less based on the sales price of the home, but they're also going to put it on the multiple listing service, which is then aggregated to Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, Redfin, all these different sites. When folks go out doing a search for a home that meets their needs, auction sites are not what come up in those first few pages. It's all real estate sites that pull MLS data. So the MLS is opening to any buyer of any kind, whether they can pay for the whole thing in cash within 30 to 60 days or whether or not they need a 30-year mortgage. There are none of these limitations placed on it. Nobody has to go through a test of some kind to qualify as a buyer to make an offer on it, right? So you're kind of double whammying yourself if you're a buyer or a seller, right? Because you have to, A, as a buyer, you have to calculate in that extra 10% or whatever that number is that you're going to have to pay as a buyer so that you're not overpaying. And as a seller, you're going to get stung for 10% of what that is. So in other words, not only is it not selling for $100,000 because the buyer – and it depends on which side it is, right? So you're not going to get that $100,000 that you think it should be worth market-wise because no one's going to want to pay that much anyway. Whether the 10% thing exists there for the buyer or not, although it does, there's always going to be a premium. There's always going to be a fee. There's always going to be something on the buyer side. But that can also be translated to the seller side where you simply – the end result is you get less than you thought, right? Understanding the competitive marketplace is important. Auctions may cover multiple properties. This allows buyers to compare them easily against each other and walk away from properties that aren't well priced. Buyers at auctions generally looking to get a return on their investment as opposed to wanting a particular house as their primary residence. So, I mean, we just kind of covered that. Now, here's another one, and we kind of covered this too. These auctions I went to had a couple of dozen people there. That was it. When you put your property on the MLS, and particularly the way the market is now here, a couple of dozen people will have walked through that house with interest in buying it probably within the first open house weekend, right? So again, and most of these folks aren't they're from the general buying pool. These aren't aggressive deal taker folks. These aren't folks who are expecting a discount. These are folks who are seeing your list price and were okay enough with it to come and look. So keep that in mind. It represents such a different way to try and sell your home. And so many folks over the years have gotten sold on this idea that you'll feed off of this frenzy that happens. And while that may happen, I didn't see it happen in any of the instances where I went and looked. Everything sold for what I thought I could have gotten as – and that's really the reason why I was going there. I wanted to see, is this a great way to buy a house? And it very well may be if you come in with the patience to just keep going to these things over and over until – and with the numbers in your head so you know what this thing's worth and have a number in your head that should be the max. And if you're there and you discover no one's bidding it up to that number that you consider to be the max and you have faith in your numbers – then that's your opportunity, right? But I got to think that it's another one of those things where it's absolutely a numbers game and one out of 20 or 30 of these that you go to is going to pan out that way in a more competitive market like we have going on now. But that's the way it has to be approached, right? Because this is something where my point is that when I went for every single one of those properties, I knew in my head as a real estate agent, I could have gotten this seller more for this property. And I could have charged them less and they would have had less of a headache and this would be sold and they'd walk away with more money in their pocket. So at no point was I thinking this was a great deal for all the parties involved. My feeling was everybody but the auctioneers got screwed in these. And that, you know, you may have a different experience with an auction, which I'd love to hear about, but the few I went to that were these active auction types, and I've also been to tons of courthouse steps auctions, which are completely different. There's no, you just pay for the house. You're paying it's when it's going to a foreclosure auction, completely different, right? An auction house is different from the auction on the courthouse steps for a foreclosure. You're not paying a percentage, a VIG to the state. It's just you pay what you bid and that's it. And then the bank gets what you bid. So it's not something you need to worry about in those scenarios. This is just the other kind of auctions, the non-governmental auctions of the properties. Now, when you sell your house through a real estate auction, you'll have to pay the extra costs associated with working with a veteran auction company. These rates may vary from company to company, but consider them an investment. A veteran real estate auction company will handle the marketing of your property. It will decide when best to hold the event and where to hold it. It will decide whether you should hold an auction in which the highest bid automatically wins your property or one in which you have the right to refuse the largest bid if it's not high enough. These are difficult decisions to make without the guidance of a knowledgeable auction house. Don't balk at the fees. Pay them to guarantee your best chance of selling your property. It can be challenging to set a price for real estate. You never really know what buyers will be willing to pay for your property. With an auction, though, this uncertainty doesn't come into play. You'll immediately know how highly buyers value your property. Their bids will tell you this information. Property owners also have the choice to set a minimum bid for their real estate. If bidders are not willing to make offers high at or above this level, you'll know immediately that you set the asking price too high. But I'd also argue that you'll get artificially low numbers. Now, clearly, this is more of a generalized list. I wanted to find somebody that was also saying good things about auctioning your property. But what you'll need to understand is that you're only marketing to those auction folks. So that's something you need to keep in mind. One good thing about an auction is it happens. You do it and it's done. It's not we put it on the market and we wait for an offer. The most successful real estate auctions tend to be those in which sellers agree to accept the highest offer, even if they're not happy with it. These auctions attract the most bidders. Real estate investors don't want to waste their time bidding on property only to have the seller back out of selling it at the last minute. There's a danger with selling real estate this way, though. You may end up selling your property at a price that you believe is too low. Sellers must weigh this risk against the advantages. So, yeah, I mean, they're not really amplifying those concerns, I think, as much as they deserve to be. But that's really kind of the ins and outs of the real estate auctioning world. You know, I'm going to say one more time for the cheap seats, I guess. It really is about what's between your ears. The auction itself is not a magical thing. And those same techniques, those same ideas that are going to make you win in an auction scenario, you're going to win in the mainstream bidding world too. But if you do have the advantage of being able to pay – or not the mainstream bidding world, the mainstream MLS working with realtors way of buying a house. But – always understand the power of your cash. If you can actually pay all cash for a property, I say consider the auction. Just be fully educated. Know exactly what you're getting out of the deal and go in there having a number in your head. But don't ignore the normal side of purchasing because your all cash capabilities are going to make you a big winner out there too. Particularly, and here's a side tidbit. In the last couple of minutes of the show, here's an ending tidbit. Let's pretend you're an all cash person. For whatever reason, you've sold another house somewhere else. You're walking into a market where homes are a lot cheaper. So you've got all the cash to buy the home you want. Let me suggest that what you want to do is have your realtor do a search on properties that have gone pending and then gone back on the market. In other words, the transaction fell through. So why do you want to find those? Because 9 times out of 10, the reason why that thing fell out of escrow is because the buyer's financing fell through. That is a great piece of information for you to have. So if you're an all-cash buyer, A, you've already got a leg up, right? You have the juice in both an auction and a conventional environment to aggressively try to bring down that price. Even more so with a seller who has a very recent negative experience with an unapproved buyer. If you can walk in there and say, I'll pay all cash. I have no lending requirements and I have no appraisal contingency to get over. Now, remember we talked about appraisals just the other day? Was that yesterday? You completely eliminate appraisals as a problem if you're paying all cash. So, and if they've got an appraisal on the books that didn't come where they wanted it to be, or and appraisals can do it. Appraisals aren't the majority problem these days. It's typically because in the process of fully qualifying these buyers, because another thing we may want to talk about at some point is that pre-qualification letter frequently doesn't mean as much as you would hope. Because they don't discover everything right up front. It's usually a couple of weeks into the process where they start discovering, oh, well, you know, this guy hasn't filed taxes in 3 years. Yeah, that's a true story. I had a client who did that. So then problems get magnified and you have to deal with them. But if you are an all cash person, use that to your advantage. Go out there and have your agent find properties that meet your criteria that are back on the market. And that's easy to do. It's easy for me to do in my marketplace. You should be able to track those down. But that's really it. I hope that's some great info for you. Auctions are absolutely something to be on your menu, but only if you're smart about them. Don't let yourself get ridden down by the process of the auction. You need to make sure you're accounting for the disadvantages within your own head and really isolating where you're willing to go in terms of price and that type of wonderful stuff. So if you'd like to get in contact with me, head on over to therebelbroker.com. You can contact me there. You can check out the new shows that are coming up. That right now, not every new show is there. There's a few days that are skipped. You may see some funky scripts and things embedded in some of the posts. That's all me trying to maximize your enjoyment of the content. And I'm bumping into these stupid walls that are preventing me from being able to do that. So it's very frustrating and annoying, but I'm sure I'll work it out at some point and then everything will be wonderful. Thanks again for listening, folks. I really appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow.